Jonathan, can you hear me? All right, thank you.
So good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share. I have to say that between now, this evening's meeting and last board's meeting, it's been a busy couple of weeks, and it's only going to get busier as the end of the year is filled with lots of celebration for the school year. So I have two things that I want to share my PowerPoint, and then I also want to share a little something for our teachers as teacher appreciation. So first, I just want us to remember our why. And these slides are showing our why. These are our students. I've had an opportunity to participate in a few different activities. This was the FFA banquet at high school the other night. This is the middle school formal. Kids look great. And I love that they have sneakers and flip flops on. The middle school had different areas set up for the children to be able to go from room to room. So there was a DJ, they had a video game set up, and they also had food. In the cafeteria with the game. So that was great fun. I got to participate in some picture taking with some of my colleagues and their children. So it was fun reliving that as my children are older now, as everyone knows. And the kids seemed to have a really good time and they all looked amazing. So next we'll talk about our five commitments to stakeholders. And the first one is our equitable instructional program for each child. And the picture on the left. Picture on the left right here. That picture shows, that was from the middle school FFA, Future Farmers of America banquet. And that's Miss Holly Hooper. She is the ag teacher there, and it was really great to be there and watching the kids come up to her. You can tell that she is a star there and that the students love her. The picture on your on the right, I highlighted the teachers. That's the National Ed Rising Day. They were signing, so as many sports and college athletes, high school athletes who are committing to their respective colleges, lots of times they have signing days. So this was for Ed Rising. And so it was great to be there to celebrate them. If I can brag on Smyrna, we had the most of any other school district in the state with the number of students who were signing that day. And a shout out to the teachers there. So we have Jenny Willis. She is on the left with the circled in red. We have Valerie Call, who is standing on the right, the circle around her. And then who two other teachers who were not there are Randy Henderson and Sarah Suff-Murray. And when the student secretary of education, Dr. Mark Holliday, asked me why such a strong showing of students from Smyrna, I said, well, it's a combination of things. I said, one, we have amazing teachers, and that's undeniable. And we have a super supportive principal and associate principals at our high school. And we do a great job of maintaining our own through our recruitment efforts. So wanted to highlight that because that was a great day. And I loved that they were able to sign and their parents were able to be there as well as other individuals. Next, on this picture, we have, I stopped by Sunnyside. As we know, Mr. Grant is retiring at the end of the school year, and they did a Dress Like Your Principal Day, and the students, the staff, all dressed up as him. It was pretty funny to see the kids. They had cut out faces of Mr. Grant, and the picture on the right is, I had the opportunity to go celebrate or attend a celebration of teachers who were the Presidential Medal Science and Mathematics Teachers awardees and nominees. And so Allison Van Ness, circled in red, standing with the Secretary of Education, Dr. Mark Holliday, we were able to celebrate her. And so that was great fun as well. Safe and secure schools for each person. So this would be the second commitment that we commit to. And you will see there we have Ms. Lee, we have Dr. Weller, and we have Ms. Jackson, who is not only a high school mathematics teacher, but she's also our DSEA president. And so they attended the 2023 Black Student Summit. And it was hosted by the Delaware Racial Justice Collaborative. Over 375 students, advisors, and administrators were there to collaborate on behalf of children whom we teach. So they had a great time there, and we showed well. Our third commitment, strong connection to family and community. This picture was sent to us by the principal at the high school, Mrs. Stacy Cook. And I.G. Burton, so when we think about that strong connection to not only our family, but to our community, I firmly believe that our partnerships really do work and that we need their support as we educate future citizens of our community. And so I.G. Burton donated a new DefibriTech Lifeline AED for sporting events and tournaments at Smyrna High School. And we were one of eight schools to receive this defibrillator, as well as the students that are standing there showed high quality excellence in their studies around life-saving skills, such as CPR and using a defibrillator. Fortunately, I'm hopeful that we will never need to use it, but we very much appreciate them selecting our high school to be able to do that and have that work. Our next strong connection to, that's the picture. So I will describe this picture for everyone in the audience. This, it was at the FFA banquet at the high school. I believe that was on Tuesday, was it just last night? Monday. It was Monday evening. And what you see there is one of the high school teachers, they had done a walkthrough and must have mentioned something about not having tools, or it would be great to have more tools because we're having students be a part of this pathway. And so we had some of our community partners, such as Willis Chevrolet Ford, Farm Credit, Horizon, Jacobs, and Cornwall Tools donated to the high school approximately $4,000 worth of tools and the container that you see there for our students to be able to use. So we appreciate their support of our children as well. And I had the opportunity to go out to CIS. And so our schools are not only busy Monday through Friday, but they're also very busy working with our community members and having parents, families, and students come to our field. The picture on the left was soccer, and some of those students are high school soccer team students, and they are helping to skill and provide instruction for our younger students and our younger community members. And then the picture on the right is Smyrna Youth Lacrosse League, and they are playing Caroline County, I believe. And so that lacrosse program is very strong indeed. So we are so fortunate to have such wonderful buildings and land to be able to share with our community. And we thank our community for that, those resources that we can share with them. When we think about excellent customer service, that comes in a wide variety of ways. And so what you see in front of you on these two pictures is the shipment for our first, fifth, and ninth grade Chromebooks for the fall. So the technology office spends a lot of time of collecting and then redistributing, re-imaging, and making sure that our devices that we use for our one-to-one initiative are safe and secure for our children, and then getting those out so that our parents can have those so that students are able to bring them to school back and forth every day. So there are quite a few there that they have to unpack and get ready. So we thank our Office of Technology for their excellent customer service to not only our schools, our teachers, but also our families. With fiscal responsibility, the Child and Nutrition Office, again, there's a new 2023 Ford 350 Transit van. This was a two-year search for new vehicles, and will help deliver food back and forth, which allows us to put one of our other transit vans from 2018 back in the fleet to provide assistance for the rest of transportation needs. So we're very thankful for that and that it came in. Mrs. Judy and I had the opportunity to go to Clayton Elementary School. And this tweet was tweeted out by Governor John Hardy. And so he came to Clayton Elementary. We were asked to host this event. And it's Teach Children to Save Week. And it really is talking about being financially independent, as they grow up. And so that was great fun. The picture on the bottom here, this young man was, Governor Carney was talking to him about a magic show. And how do you think the magician really, how did the magician fool you? But he didn't say it in that way. But how do you think he did his trick? And the young man pulled the microphone from his hand and started talking, and he had it all laid out. He knew exactly what happened. So it was great fun. The children were very, very excited. And Principal Moyer and Associate Principal Dawes did a great job of bringing them in, and then the teachers were there as well. So it was good fun. And we appreciate the opportunity to showcase Clayton Elementary. So when they asked if we could do this, I jumped at the opportunity to do so. And then finally, we do have Madison Retzlaff, and she's the state president of N Rising. She just found out about 2 weeks ago that she will be the state president, which means that she will go around to different chapters of N Rising from school to school, from district to district. And so we're very proud of her and her accomplishments with that. Next month, I'll have some more opportunities because, as I said, we are celebrating a lot over the next couple of weeks as the year comes to a close. The other thing that I wanted to discuss, and if you will afford me the opportunity to do so, it is American Education Week. And we absolutely could not do what we do every day if it wasn't for our teachers, our nurses, our administrators, our paraprofessionals, our custodians. But I wanted to highlight our teachers this evening. And so I am going to share with you a poem that I did not write, but it is one of my favorite poems, and I think it captures the essence of what teachers do every day. It's called The Peaceable Kingdom. Once my wife brought home, I swear, 18 5-year-olds. 18, her entire kindergarten class. I say 18, though I have no certain proof that was the number, other than 18 was what Eileen, my wife, told me was the number who had been there. The kids themselves, I mean, never stood long enough for me to make a count. I remember meeting them in mass as I watched them all suddenly mount the back porch, 2 by 2, the other teacher and 3 mothers bringing up the rear. The kids seemed orderly enough, but as the first one reached the top of the porch steps, I could feel their little engines already beginning to shake the joists and beams around me. Eileen and the big ones went inside to make sure the chocolate milk and cookies were all done. I was told to hold the fort alone for the next 5 minutes, talk to them, introduce myself, hold court, sort of maintain order, you understand? For maybe 3-4 seconds, the line kept order and order tighter, friends, than what you may be hearing, what you may be hearing here in mine. And then, like that, the whole thing fell apart. The baby falcons could not hear the falconer. The great invisible clockwork spring that held it all together suddenly went boink as the first one, then 2, then all 18 were rolling head over heels, somersaulting down the hill behind the house. They demanded to be fed. They grew fangs and talons. They went bouncing off the walls. Their groans and shouts increased, except as an old pear tree up which to climb or something to get round, I had already ceased even to exist, and I was screaming for Eileen. In a moment, she was there, and the upsprung revolutionary mass returned instantly to order, pair by pair by pair, with hot chocolate and a cookie for each kid. Friends, I saw her take that Lilliputian horde and read them all a story. I saw them flock around her. I saw them feeding on her every word. Paul Moroney. I love that poem. I think it captures the essence. If you've ever been in a kindergarten classroom, it's just amazing what happens in all of our classrooms, but I'm especially amazed when I walk into a kindergarten classroom where there are 4- and 5-year-olds, and as the poem describes, really running around, learning through play, and how the magic that the teacher has in that room with them. And by the end of the school year, they're reading and they're writing, and they're little human beings. So with that, I just want to say to all of our teachers, just thank you for everything you do every day. Your job is incredibly complex. It is more science, it is art, and it is a million decisions every day. And I know when you go home, you are exhausted because of the order you maintain and the learning that is occurring in your classrooms. So with that, that concludes my report, but I just want to say thank you to everyone and thank you for being here. Very much appreciate you affording me the opportunity to read that for everyone. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us at John Bassett Moore Intermediate School for our May 10th Board of Education meeting. We have a full agenda tonight, so we are going to get started and call the meeting to order at 7:02 p.m. We're going to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance led by Mr. Snook. He has a lot of space without a microphone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to start off by thanking the John Bassett Moore Intermediate staff, studio team, and the technology staff for setting up our venue tonight. It's very pretty. Tables, everything is working. Microphones, you can hear us, stage, and everything. So thank you, team, for setting up our meeting tonight. Okay, so we are going to have our special recognitions of our retirements, our retirees first. Okay, so do you want to introduce or would you like me to? All right, so we've got some people to celebrate, I would say that for sure. Their first retiree is Mrs. Virginia Foy. Pleasure of working with Virginia for many, many years. And then she had my not so little guy, and she's just the light of CIS. So I know they're going to miss her terribly. And maybe she'll come back and visit. So, oh, yes. All right, we have a gift for you, one of the gifts behind you. Check if it should say on the bottom. We have tricks here. Lots of tricks. Yeah, that's for you. Yeah. Okay, she does not want to say anything. Okay. She started her career at Smyrna Elementary and then here at GPM and then finishing out strong at CX. Thank you, Virginia. Next one, Mrs. Lisa Newton. So Lisa has, she came to Delaware from Pennsylvania, I believe, years ago. I don't know how many months, but she worked in Delmar and then came up to Smyrna and has been here ever since. She is an angel to all of our teachers who work with students with IEPs and all of those students that she's touched all of these years. So we thank you so much. She's going to go work at Disney. So that, I see lots of excited grandbabies down there, back there. So thank you, Lisa, so much. It's been just wonderful being your colleague all these years. Yeah. You know, it's about the home. We've got probably lots of celebrations to do for the rest of the year for all these great retirees. Our next one is Brenda Darrell. Worked at Clayton Elementary for 17 years, I think it was. 22. Oh my God. She's like, where did those 5 years go, Deb? That was somebody else. Brenda is the quiet, but wonderful source of help and information and love for all of our kids and our students at CES and the office. It would not be the great place it is without you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And maybe you'll come back and visit us too. I mean, Virginia's, you know, just saying. Enjoy. Thank you. Okay. So I'm not really sure how to introduce the next honoree, but I'm just gonna say 49 years. You know, my eyes are getting a little sweaty, and I don't know if it's because the idea of working for 40 years is sad to me, but, or that Mrs. Wright has just been a colleague and a teacher to all of us for 49 years. And I know I'll see her at every football game and every event that she can get to, and she will always be Mrs. Wright and our Swim the Eagle ambassadress, whatever you call it. But you're the team for duty.
I go ahead and said yes, and then I stay
with you. Yeah. I said, shaking the lead now. I was like,
yeah.
And she said, nah, not. I said, that's not with me too. But there's a lot to celebrate. We're gonna celebrate Barbara for a long time to come. So. And we have a photographer here, by the way. Her name's Tabby. She's down in the front. So she will, I know, because that's why Tabby's here, to take pictures for all of our retirees and our teachers of the year. So please find Tabby, because she will do that, and we'll get those pictures to you. Okay. Sorry, Eileen Allison, you're following Mrs. Wright. And Eileen, I first met Eileen as a parent. Wonderful kids here at JVM, and then she went over to high school, and now she's ending her career here at the middle school. Thank you so much, Eileen. She's done not just the finances at the high school, our middle school and high school, but she's also been working with our band for years and years and years, and has given so many hours to our kids. So thank you so much, Eileen. Enjoy your retirement. All right, and our last, this is Mrs. Andrea Cooper. She was one of the teachers that Mrs. our Dr. Brown read about in the poem tonight, who can just command the room of all those littles. And she's going to start a new career in Marin. So we're switching places. But she's going to, you know, just be the light in life for many kids, more to come. So thank you so much, Mrs. Cooper. She's been a flight intermediate for her entire life. What's up, Mr. Cooper? We're going to go right into Teacher of the Year. So I don't need this microphone to move it. Now, I used to do geography bees up here. Does anybody remember that? I don't have nothing. You want to say the lake, Lisa? We have some pronunciation issues at times. So we're going to have our Teacher of the Year candidates go to the far stairs. Or you can walk up this way, whatever you prefer. And then we'll have the principals meet them down here, sort of present them with their certificates and their flowers here. And then principals meet here. And then once we've done all that, we'll go outside. And Mrs. Sharon Dagley from Smyrna Middle School, her and her her Honor Society art students created a mural to take pictures in front of. It's incredible. So we'll do that. And then we will print those for you and send them to you. So they'll be nice mementos of this event. So thank you everybody for coming, because this is a great crowd. Love it. All right, so we're going to start with Laura Massey from Clifton Elementary School. All the way down. Laura's a first grade teacher, and she's going to be the reading specialist at Clayton Elementary School. From North Smyrna Elementary School, Mrs. Gloria Alvarado. We're so excited to have Gloria as a Teacher of the Year from North. She's our first Spanish immersion teacher to win Teacher of the Year. The great representative of the program. Thank you. And we have Ashley Johnson from Smyrna Elementary School. And Ashley is a kindergarten teacher at Smyrna Elementary School. And she's also the sister to Laura Mosley. But that's the first sister pair we've had, right? Mrs. Augustus, Dr. Augustus. We had Mrs. Kelly and Mrs. Augustus at the time. So we have now two sister groups in our Teacher of the Year. Sunnyside Elementary School, Mrs. Jacqueline Cox. And Jackie is a kindergarten teacher at Sunnyside Elementary School. She's been there since. Pick prep too at Clayton Intermediate School. Here we have his baby, 15, now from time at Clayton Intermediate School. We have Jackie Slovic from John Bassett Moore. Jackie has been her 3 years at John Bassett Moore, working with our business experience. And Mr. Joe Flamer. Joe has been working at a fan favorite of the middle schoolers. And I'm happy to say he's a colleague in at Smyrna Middle for many years, teaching social studies, seventh grade. And we have, last but not least, always in high school, right? Mrs. Liliana Dawn Winner. And Dawn is a special education teacher at the high school and definitely one of the leaders in special education. We appreciate everything you do for our students. All right. And now we have the winner of the District Teacher of the Year. You will get a fancy license plate at some point. And you also represent us at the state level competition, which will culminate at the banquet in October next school year. So lots to do between now and then. The winner of the District Teacher of the Year is Laura Massey. So we'll take a few minutes break and go out to the lobby and you can get some pictures and Tabby will just be out there for you. Congratulations, everyone. You represent us so well and we are lucky to have all of you on our staff. Very much. We're going to the break. We'll be back on recording in the studio. Okay, we are back after that celebration break. It is 7:39. We do have one more recognition for our student board member. Carl Fino. That's my great. After graduation, you are really okay. Sure. So I want to say we have the distinct pleasure of meeting each month with our student representative, hearing from them on everything that's happening at the high school. And over my 10 years being on the board, I can go through and I can name them all of them, you know, different and unique, add a lot of energy to our board meeting. But I will say you are up there in the top two. So Carl, congratulations. Well done. I have no doubt that you're going to just blaze your own trail. And super excited. Do you want to share your college selection? It's probably all over social media, but for this techie that's not on social media, can you tell me where you selected?
So in the fall, I will be attending Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia. I'll be double majoring in global politics and economics with a minor in law, justice, and society. And they gave me a full ride academic scholarship.
Congratulations. Well deserved. I'm sure we'll be seeing your name on even lists of scholarships and awards and accolades. And I know this isn't the last time that we're going to hear your name or see your name in print. So congratulations. Job well done. It's been a distinct pleasure working with you this year. Thank you. I think it's recorded, so. Okay. All right, great. So actually, Carl, you are next on the agenda, is that correct? Okay, you know what, this is no changes to the agenda. And then we have student board member report. Do you bring them back?
So I was actually saying to Mr. Snow here during Dr. Brown's superintendent report, he took like 3/4 of my stuff. But it's okay because it's happened 5 years. So we'll go over everything again. So on Monday, the Smyrna FFA held their 47th annual parent member banquet. With over 200 people in attendance, 221 awards for outstanding achievement in agri-science classes were awarded, with each pathway recognizing a top student in each level. 18 members were awarded their Smyrna FFA chapter degree, and they also had the Green Hand degrees as well. Alyssa Addicts was named the Star Green Hand. And Taylor Wallace was named a Star Chapter Degree recipient. Alyssa and Taylor will now apply for the State Star in each of those areas. Seniors were recognized with many honors, including scholarships and proficiency awards. In total, roughly $10,000 was given in scholarships, as well as monetary awards to the members. As the FFA moves into the summer, they have over 50 students signed up to compete in career and leadership development events at the state level in June and at the state fair in July. The final spring plan sale will be held on Saturday, May 15th from 8 a.m. to noon for Mother's Day weekend. There are still planners, baskets, and single pots available for sale, so be sure to go out for that. As Dr. Brown said, SHS Athletics and Athletic Training received a new DefibTech Lifeline AED for use during sporting events and tournaments at Smyrna High School. The AED was presented to a few chosen Allied Health II students who demonstrated excellence in their Heart Saver CPR first aid and AED certification, and that was gifted by IT Bergen. From BPA, the National Leadership Conference results, Kate McGowan placed 8th in the nation in administrative support research, and the team of Dakota Donahue, Faith Hughes, and Nate Roscoe placed 4th in the nation in virtual financial portfolio. Last Saturday, National Honor Society hosted a car wash at Smyrna High School, and they're currently running a Slime Your Teacher fundraiser. So throughout the week, there's been Honor Society members sitting at a table during lunches. Certain staff members have elected to put their fate up for sale. And so if you want to see, for example, right now, Ms. Tucker, one of the STEM teachers, is in the lead. I think she has over $100 to her name right now. If I wanted her to see her slap for sure, I'm putting $20 on her. And at the end of the week, we brief top teachers with the most money to their names slap next week in front of the school. So pretty excited to see that. And all those funds are going to benefit special needs Delaware. The Interact CTE ambassadors will be helping out with the Smyrna Clean Rotary with their annual car show in the front parking lot of Smyrna High School on Saturday morning. Especially appreciate the members that are coming to help out with that, as prom is also on Saturday. So a lot of people are planning on coming out and spending their morning the prom day helping us and doing some community service to start the day off with. A decision day breakfast was held last Friday in the cafeteria to celebrate the class of 2023's post-graduation plans. Breakfast was served for everybody. There was also photo opportunities, backdrop and cap and gown. So a good event to start off the final part of our senior year is bringing the whole class together and really commemorating everybody's accomplishment and celebrating them. 2 weeks ago, our high school drama club put on Cinderella for three stunning shows. The auditorium was full of smiling faces from both audience members and performing students at the end of each show. Last night, the jazz and symphonic bands put on an amazing show, as per usual, and the full and select choir ensemble will have their spring concert next Tuesday evening in the high school auditorium. Our seniors, going along with their end of high school activities. At the beginning of the year, we had the senior sunrise, which I reported on in the September meeting, I'm sure. On May 19th, so next Friday, we will commemorate the closing of our senior year with the senior sunset event. So we're super excited for that. On the 22nd, we will have our final pep rally during the school day and the Battle of Classes event at night, which is completely open to the public and is really entertaining to watch. And on the 24th, they will have the Powder Cup football game tournament as well. Another very entertaining game. I did way too many splits last year as a junior, and I felt it for the next 2 weeks. Moving on to sports, baseball is 8-6 after a close 1-0 win against CR last week. Softball is 10-6 and ranked 6th in the state. And they beat Suffolk Central last week, who were the state runners up last year. Golf is preparing for conference championships in 2 weeks. Boys lacrosse is 6-5. Girls lacrosse is 9-5. And last night, I believe it's not the night before, they had their senior night but their game against Middletown. Senior Reagan Nicrelli scored the tying goal with 2 seconds left in the game. And then she scored the first goal in the Sun Devil overtime to win the game for Smyrna, with a score of 14-13. Super cool. Boys tennis finished out the regular season 7-3 and is now preparing for conferences and the state tournament. Girls tennis finished out the regular season 5-5 and is now preparing for conferences and state tournament as well. Conferences start tomorrow. Congrats. Got the key from MSA. Girls track finished the regular season 4-3 and recently finished 2nd at the Art Madrid Hall of Fame meet out of 32 teams. And our boys track team finished the regular season 5-2 and recently finished 1st at the Art Madrid Hall of Fame meet out of 32 teams. Super big win there. Going along with super big wins, our unified track and field team are state champions. Super cool to see that, see them get the recognition that they deserve. One athlete in particular I wanted to highlight, though, Alexis Lloyd Wheeler. She was the first athlete from Smyrna High School, first unified athlete from Smyrna High School that's qualified to compete at the highly competitive Penn Relays competition, and she placed 2nd at Penn Relays. So huge accomplishment for her and for the future of Smyrna High School's unified track and field team. And then lastly, my favorite team, the boys volleyball team. We finished off the season with a record of 13-2 And we'll start their trek in the inaugural DIAA Boys Volleyball State Tournament on Friday night at 6 p.m. So we ended up ranked number 6 in the state. And this year, there was over 30 teams, which got it past that mark to become the DIAA officially regulated sport. So in about 2 weeks or so, we'll have the first ever DIAA Volleyball State Champion. Hopefully, that school will start with Smyrna. So super excited to see how that goes. And yeah, that's
great. Thank you very much, Carl. Appreciate that. So you said Friday, 6 p.m. at the high school? Okay. And do you know who you're playing?
Playing Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant. Okay. Great. Congratulations and good luck. Okay. Next up is to congratulate our newly elected school board member, Ms. Bobby Jo Weber. So she's in the audience. If you'd like to stand, congratulations. Really thankful for everyone that went out to vote, and congratulations, best wishes, and know that you, as an alumni of Smyrna High School and the community and a vested parent, just really looking forward to your service to the community and the Lord. So thank you. All right, we have no formal public comment, is that correct? Okay. All right, so we're gonna start the boring part, because that was a lot of fun. Okay, now it's like business. All right, so item 10.1, approval of board minutes from the April 19th, 2023 meeting. I have a motion on the table by Mr. Skuse and a second by Dr. Wilson. I'll call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse? Dr. Wilson? I vote abstain because I was not at the meeting. So vote carries 3-0-1. Right, next item is 10.2, approval of monthly financial reports. Ms. Hudson? I have a motion on the table by Dr. Wilson and a second by Mr. Snow. I'll call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse? Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you, Ms. Hudson. Next item, 10.3, school choice for the 23-24 school year. Thank you. I have 10 choice applications for inter-district transfer, 14 choice applications for intra-district transfer, no termination forms, and 5 denied choice forms for the 2023-2024 school year. It's a recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students, 1 through 10, the intra-district students, 1 through 14, all be admitted under choice this evening. And I'd like to note that the majority of those are students that were in the immersion lottery that are being approved for that special. I have a
have a motion on the table by Mr. Snow and a second by Mr. Skuse. I'll call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse? Dr. Wilson? I vote aye. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Next item is 10.4, constable job description.
Can you guys hear me? Yes. Okay. Madam President, we have our Smart School District Board policy for the constable job description, ready for everyone to review. Any questions?
Looking through this under performance responsibilities, item number 2, that I know the second dot. Consider myself on changing the wording of that slightly instead of coordinated daily tasks and responsibility instead of activity. So change the word activity, task and responsibility. The activity is not a good word.
Yes, so it will read coordinate daily tasks and assignments with building administration. Yes, I can do that. So one of the pieces that we changed in the qualifications was to add 5 years of successful law enforcement employment, uniform and approved badge and markings required, because that is a requirement of the state that they have that, and then to possess a valid driver's license. Most of the qualifications fall under that certified constable information that's in Title 10. So most of that in there is from that. And then when we moved into the desired qualifications, we had 5 here. So we put 5 in the minimum qualifications and we added 10 as a desire. And then we explained working with school age children. We gave examples of that. And then in the performance responsibilities, we wanted to be really clear that the utmost priority of this position would be to enhance and ensure a safe environment. So whatever that looks like throughout the day, proactive measures that this position would take, because they aren't going to have a scheduled class to be a part of and things like that. So we wanted to make sure that's our first bullet, is that their duty is to ensure and enhance the safety and welfare basically of everyone who's in the building. We added coordinate daily tasks and assignments with the building administration. We added that in there just because the constable position would report to the supervisor of school climate and safety. However, they are going to work daily with that building administration team for their everyday tasks. And I'm trying to think if we changed too much more in here. We changed some wording around. For the most part, the rest of the responsibilities are the same. The last actually the second to last, third to last bullet, we added that they would, this first position would support future constables as a mentor. And once we start the program going and we get more, we would say that they would be a collaborative member of a constable team, the safety team of the district. And I believe that's most of the large items that we changed. Anything else was just like a wording or grammatical change. Monitor, we could change it to monitor. Just so we're clear, the job description is also a policy, and the reason being, well, it will be a policy if such is voted on tonight, so that the responsibility of such a role that has an incredible amount of, you know, liability and responsibility would be the responsibility of the board. And not solely laying on the shoulders of the administration. So we appreciate that. Thank you. Would you like me to?
He just said.
Madam President, I'm going to accept the SWERS school district board policy for policy administration. You can number later as presented with the identified.
I have a motion on the table by Mr. Snow and a second by Mr. Skuse. I will call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson? I vote aye. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you, Dr. Long.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Excellent. All right, next item is 10.5 design development approval, North Front Elementary. I believe Wade. Hi, good to see you.
Yeah. So as Wade's approaching, just to kind of introduce, as you recall, last month while we were here, we transitioned from the design and development phase for two of our other projects, the Clayton Intermediate to Clayton Middle project, as well as the new intermediate school. So up for presentation, review, and vote to transition from design development into the construction document stage is our North Elementary project.
As Ryder said, I'm Wade Clingane from Franklin A Architects. I'm here to present the design development drawings for North Smart Elementary that will be hopefully approved. So the majority of our addition is in the rear of the building. And what we did do is we did move the front entry to the side of the building. And why we did that was to publicly meet some traffic flow within the site. So our entrance is pretty much remaining off North Main. We come in, the buses still have the same bus route. We're bringing the cars in and then we're double stacking them and bulging this so that we remove some of the back wall on North Main, and then we have our drop-off area in this location. In the back here, we do have a fire lane that we have some paved surface that can use for playgrounds. And then we have a ball field with some other new playgrounds from other people. As for the plan, we have our entry sequence over here. We have administration, which is the gray area, the nurse area, which is down to the bottom of the page. The green area is the kindergarten with restrooms inside the classrooms. The pink area would be the new first grade. And then we have some campus space. And then we have a new down to the left-hand side. These are some perspectives. The top one is towards the rear, looking out into the playgrounds. And the bottom one is the new entry into the building. The interior renderings. The large one is the entrance hallway coming into the school. The bottom right is the music room. And then there's another hallway shot, which is the top right hand side. As for scheduling, we will hopefully be back to you November 8th for the CD approval. Then there's some regulatory approvals that happen in December. Then OMB does their review in January. We will be bidding in February and March. And then we will award in April of 2021. That's where we begin the scheduling. And that concludes the presentation. If you have any questions, if that helps you.
Go back to the first one. We don't have to go back. On the picture where it shows the fall tracking,
yep.
And I apologize, but I'm trying to measure with the ruler on my computer screen, but how wide is that? By my estimate, it's about 25 feet. Based on the scale of the road, is that wide enough? Do you double park the kids really?
I actually think it's more, I think it's greater than 20, it's 26, it might be 20. So you have plenty of room. It's actually made for double traffic going in both directions, but during that time, where I don't need to do some internal work on certain hours and things and stuff, and that'll stop that area, which they do.
If I remember right, this is before we're going to have some areas in between the back of the building, right?
There is a courtyard. There's a courtyard right there.
We're just trying to utilize that for a couple of classes.
It is programmed, and there is a very faint program, but there is some areas for an exterior classroom and small meeting groups. They're broken up into three different areas.
That's so bad.
There you go. There you go. So there's a big area here, there's another little one here, another little one here to get the pathway between them.
So on that picture in the top left corner, this is something like a little move external classroom right here, here both time. Can you explain what that is?
Over here?
Over there.
That is a mechanical yard. So you have one here at this school.
Oh, and so it's nothing.
It's nothing for students. It is built like a brick wall, so you cannot see into it. That would be where the chiller and actually generator set. It'll be locked up so you can't see it and it's screened.
Magic cleared that up.
Which is why the mechanical room is right here. Just to talk to each other.
We have on the time table a significant amount of time for the traffic light. So we have, because we're not having to do that, I'm going to go over the top of that.
So that schedule included what we are doing now. We are not doing any traffic impact study, but I'm still dealing with traffic. I'm not into the normal section of DOMDOT yet, which is the entrance design, which we had a meeting this past week on, where we have to get design deviations and get them to agree upon those design deviations. The reviewer has changed since that meeting. So we have three design deviations that we're asking for. One is a left turn lane, one is a right turn lane, and one is they want some easement that encroaches onto existing stormwater pond that we want some leeway on, and I think we should get the leeway on. Delmont's playing nice. They agree, I think, with the deviations. They agree with at least one of the terms verbally. I could change it then. And we can kind of prove some things with the stormwater that we should probably get that. But I have to get those deviations, and then I go to the next step. So there's like two steps in that line.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll be on time. You should be on time as long as they don't drag their feet. And blah, blah, and they even said, we're changing reviewers. We know we're changing reviewers. Give us a little bit of leeway with the time. Well, you're in the queue and you know you're small and you're doing good. So I'm going to give them their leeway because they're playing nice. And then I'll circle back in a week or two and ask for a little more of the leeway. I do not see them currently unless they come back and change their mind. If they come in and start wanting to investigate a left turn lane and right turn lane, it gets a lot more complicated because the road book is not there and then you're getting into embankments, you're getting into a cemetery, which so there's yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think Delgado's aware of that. They were working with this. They were not working with this.
I know this is all the additions. Is there anything with the remodeling of existing, like the front, like the office, you know, space that exists
so,
now, doors, and how the front is going to look?
So basically, in the existing school, there are some renovations happening. Those renovations are dealing with a new roof that needs to be replaced, and also dealing with replacement of air handling units that are on the roof. And that's what the basic scope is for the interior of the building. There's no like major rework of any offices or anything outside that. But the ceiling did cover that. It did cover the mechanical units, so we really need to get adjusted.
So to answer the question, what we're doing with the addition is basically liberating or recovering space that's been utilized by other programming within North Elementary. So we're taking the existing enrollment and essentially spreading them out. So if you look, the areas that we're adding is that kindergarten and first grade. That area in the existing school has been, let's say, consumed by other programming needs within the school. So we're kind of recovering that space, and we're going to be able to, we'll say, spread out, not necessarily add a significant enrollment to the school. So looking at the capacity of the kitchen, the cafeteria, the cooking equipment, the storage, based off of the information provided, the discussion with Ken and Wade, we feel that the existing space can cover and compensate for what we're doing at the school.
What is going to be our student capacity once everything is done? Are we shooting for 600 students, like actual student count population?
So the I'm not sure what the exact numbers are at North Elementary right now. Deb, do you know the enrollment at North right now? So I would say our target is not to increase significantly beyond that. To give you an exact number, I could bring that back to the next month's meeting, or I could report back to the board individually. But we're not looking for a 700 student or 800 student school. As I said, it's essentially, if you look at North Elementary, We have a lot of classrooms that have been, we'll say, cannibalized or set by programs, and we have some programs that are operating without a classroom or without a designated space. So this gives us that opportunity to recover that, and we'll say spread out. One of the programs that we've added were that take-up space in the school, which is our pre-K program. And that's some space that's a program that requires a significant number of classrooms. So being able to provide support for that program takes space from other programming needs within the building.
I'll have to get back to you, but I think you're pretty close to 6'9". That's a ballpark. I guess I can report back to you next time you email.
So an exact number of total capacity for the building we can get as far as like what we'll say target that we anticipate at the opening of the school, we can give you that as well.
Okay, I just want to make sure, you know, and just for my own knowledge of like how many more classrooms and students that we'll be able to serve.
Their numbers are higher than their actual rating on the file.
But when you do a capacity in school, you look at that.
Just
the space. You don't double that.
Well, but apart from we get our enrollment pool.
Yes.
You look at that and everything else.
Also, with pre-K, when you're looking at that, the typicals are not listed in our enrollment count. So that's why the number is different, because we have some there half day. But when we're looking at the unit count, that is only our special needs population for pre-K, whereas for everyone else it is. So then we add in our typical population as well. Right, I actually pulled up, it's 24 pre-K, which we know we have, and it has 410. Adding some students and capacity, so it's...
So our number would be 100. Well, pre-K, we can go for 100, but as Mr. Schmidt suggested, about 100 is part of the day. There is one part of the program that people stay all day, so that's not exact, but...
Great. Okay, where's the cafeteria on this? Because I'm not seeing it.
It's not even all that big.
No. Okay, so it's in the front gray area.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The gray area is this is the back hallway. So I was confused because this is what I thought.
Right there, cafeteria right there.
Yeah.
We were looking at this block right here that we were just on.
Okay. If you go back to the other side, this is the way I was picturing it. When I saw it, now it makes a lot more sense where we are remodeling the front. I thought we were adding the front and the back was on that picture. That's all. So go back to the next one. I thought this front. And then we were adding this and then we got it. Okay. And remodeling that, but we're remodeling the front. And leaving the back hallway at the end. So now it's not even. Yeah, but where is the front of the school right now on that drawing?
Right there.
No,
yeah.
I don't want that.
It's not even long enough. It's got their own bottom of that.
So this is the existing main entrance. Okay.
So I can point to it.
So the next screen, we're going to go to this bar.
Yeah. So the existing bus lane is here. Entering into the building here, this is that long hallway that goes all the way down and will connect the existing back hallway, the back wing, to the new addition. So that whole thing here, all the way around, is the new addition. So we're gonna use those spaces for we're gonna have a couple things take place there. We have programming needs for our pre-K, our staff that manage and operate that. We're actually gonna have a satellite space for nurses to be in this space. So we're not, the CN did not give funding or provide funding, nor was requested to do any remodeling or restructuring to the physical building itself, to reorganize all of the space or anything like that. That wasn't covered in the CN. The CN only addressed this area here, as well as doing some of the mechanical things that Wayne mentioned earlier in the existing building. Yeah, sorry about that. It's all the way, and that's one of the things when we met with the town for their biggest, one of their biggest questions: how are you going to alleviate the pressure, the traffic pressure off of North Main Street? When they saw this massive queuing space here, where we could double stack cars all the way around, they were very pleased with that. They're happy to see that we were, that we made some accommodations to be able to get traffic off of North Main Street much faster. So that, that's an area where we can just stack cars, get the traffic off of the lane a lot faster. We work with Smyrna PD to work on the timing of the light that Glenwood and everything. So we've already addressed a lot of the issues with some of those coordinations, and we feel like when we do this, it's definitely going to help continue. I'll say the momentum that we've already got. We're still going to have a crossing. Because we still have families that, that rather than get into this congestion, they'll pull into the park and then they'll walk their kid to school because they feel comfortable doing it. So that, that will continue to happen. And that's something specifically, that's a specific question presented by the Department of Transportation. One of our meetings was, what are you going to do about cross? The other thing was, we have a speed limit that's, let's say it's 25 here. I think when you turn off, it's 25, it's 35, goes to 25, goes back to 35. And DelDOT asked if we would petition the town to have it changed to 25 all the way down. So from Glenwood down to Duck Creek Parkway, to have the speed limit changed to 25 along that entire passage. Absolutely. And Pop Warner and all the different things that take place. So I met with the, I'm on the town safety committee, and I talked with that group last month, and they all agreed that and supported that. It felt like it was a good idea. So Tori is going to handle that as the chief, to make that request to, ironically, DelDOT, who made the recommendation. So they said they recommend it, but they can't do it without a town recommendation. So Tori's going to support us to get that changed to 25.
No, that's where you tell everybody.
I'm not sure I could do that. But yeah, so we, they felt with that and some of the other things that we've done, they felt really comfortable with what's going to happen with the traffic flow in the space.
Importance of where students came into school. So having the pre-K program has slightly different times and audiences, and then having the parent drop off. So by moving the office back there, it gave reason to go back there. Whereas if you were just asking them to drive back there, it wouldn't have seemed as meaningful. But as Mr. Hope was saying, the front office space, I mean, in the original school was the library. And our pre-K director and psychologists are in closets and library offices, so that gives them meeting space and they would be there as a team. So in the planning of it, the pre-K team would be in what is currently the primary office with space for administration to support that program as well.
Hey, thank you very much. Great discussion. Appreciate it. Thank you, Lee, for coming. Always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for the questions and answers. So I have a motion on the table by Dr. Wilson, and second by Mr. Snow. I'll call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skews?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson? I vote aye. Motion carries 4-0. Great work. All right. Next, board policies, 11.1, board policy review. Dr. Brown.
So we have the Board Policy Review Committee did meet, and we have a couple of policies and a question for the board this evening. The first policy that I would like to share is policy number 1000. And this is an interesting policy because it's a policy on policy. So I named it Board of Education Policy Standards and Guidelines. So that I thought that might be better than policy on policy, but I'm open to any type of revision. And so what you see before you with this policy is really how our policies will look and how the public will be able to read them, where it links. So you'll have a purpose, authority, definitions, and then the policy statement, which really speaks to formatting and then how policy is added, deleted, and how we review that and how it comes to the board during our regular board meeting. Are there any questions about this policy? Okay. The second policy that I wanted to talk about this evening is a smoke-free policy. And this policy was actually in our board policy manual in three different spaces. It was numbered 1316, it was numbered 4106, and then 5132. And so we took that policy and felt the discussion around that was, it really was a bit redundant to have three different places for it. And it was rather outdated. As you can see, it was from 1999. And so even the definition of smoking has changed a bit, even over the last 5 years. So with that, you do have two board policies. It was not the original, but it was changed from the Board Policy Review Committee. And then from that, we also had another revision. And so I would like for you to take a look at the revised policy. I think the revised policy that came in that is a bit more explicit in terms of, for instance, under definitions and the word smoking, it was originally going to be this includes any use or distribution of tobacco and marijuana products. And now it will say the action of lighting, inhaling, and or exhaling the smoke of any substance. This includes, but not is not limited to, any use of distribution of tobacco and marijuana products. So I think the revised policy that you have in front of you is a bit more explanatory in certainly the definitions, and I think it's a bit more clear under the policy statement. So if you have any questions regarding that, let me back up before I ask for questions. We will have one policy, 1316, and the other two policies will be deleted from those other sections. For the one in the student section, I believe the code of conduct covers that. And the other one, chart. Was in the, not personnel, but in the instruction, and they all three were the same, so we feel that it was just redundant to have it in that section relating to personnel or adults. That is our, we're requesting that the board remove them, and we've removed them. We will delete them from each of the sections, and then we will have one policy, 1316, which will be revised in the form that you see before you this evening, which will go into section 1000. We should work on that. With both of these policies, we will have them proofread tomorrow and then posted for public, and we will alert the our school administrators as well. The other policy that we wanted to speak to you about this evening that we looked at is a deletion, and it's extra pay for extra work. And this policy was in 2003, and after looking at it, we decided that that could be deleted because that information comes to the board for, it's either negotiated and or it would come to the board like this evening under personnel. Any questions about any of the policies? The only other question that we discussed, we know that eventually we will be renumbering the policies because of all the ins and outs that we've been doing. So we were curious as a committee, the very first section is called community relations, and we're not sure that really describes what that section is. So we would defer to the board, and we can certainly discuss this at our next board policy review committee, if that title of that section should be renamed. Perhaps I did look at a couple other school districts to see what some of their nomenclature was for the titles. I looked at Colonial School District, and we have organization, programs, students, personnel, finance, property, operations, communications, school relations, and then after they had a policy on constables, and then a table of contents. And then I looked at Indian River, and they had foundations and basic commitment, board governance and operations, general school administration, fiscal management, support services, facility development, personnel, negotiation, instruction, and students. So it may be advantageous for the policy review committee to look at those and then rename them if we decide to rename any of them, and then reorder them as well. So that concludes the presentation for this evening. And we do ask that for Board Policy 1000, that be a new policy and approved this evening. 1316, approve that as a new policy. Delete 4106, 4143, and 5132. Yes, in fact, my assistant and I, Andrea McCready, she also supports the board. And so she and I, about 2 months ago, went through and I made sure she had all the deletions. I had all the new ones, she had the new ones. I looked at my deletions, so we cross-checked with each other and then ensure that the website is updated, as well as we are going to need a SharePoint site, and we had a great suggestion from our administrators when we spoke with them at our administrative council, that instead of creating a hard copy, I will keep a hard copy because I think I should have a hard copy of all of that kind of history. And then Dre has a copy as well. And then the administrator said, well, do we really need a hard copy because everything's electronic? So we were going to create new policy manuals for the next school year, and he said, we don't need that, we can go online.
So number 11 now said that September 1st, going to consume the bench, we made a copy of any deleted policies in case we don't know that the future needs and sort of industry. Superintendent will also try to get any pre-existing new policy. So we understand that if I do the policy from 30 years ago, she had right on, she had no, we won't expect her to go. Jason goes, you know.
Should really have a star on the point. Don't go far on the right either. So
right. That's exactly right.
Right.
I like the electronic copy because to me, you can just quickly search a word, right? You're looking for you know, tobacco use. So control F, make it in, and then it's H2 to spot two. That's also the benefit of an online policy. If we can see with paper and printing and ink and see the image of it. Okay, thank you.
So there's a couple things that I like about the policy. The fact that it puts in there, right, the board is obligated to review policy in 5 years. So we don't have the opinion that had in the past or the employee for a year, not obligated. So the board is obligated, I'm saying, for our we need to try to set aside time for the time here to make sure we're getting a bylaw. Make sure that for the 5 years we're going about what we're doing. And I love the standard on the other part the procedure book. I'll make sure to have a procedure book from a lot of the policies that we believe it. Aren't necessarily deleting because we're not confused with it, or they're deleting because they're more of a procedure rather than a column. So they're going to need the procedure for on the bureau. It's correct.
Yes, it's absolutely correct.
Madam President, I move to accept the board policy as submitted with the that is listening about the urban and every day of the life.
Second.
Any further discussion? Madam President,
I
have a motion on the table by Mr. Snow and a second by Mr. Skuse. I will call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson? Vote aye. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Our discussion item, we have student mental health. I believe that was in relation to the high school wellness, right, center. Okay, so there was just a constituent that sent me an email just asking that we look into just trying to create capacity for counseling and mental health appointments. I know when I spoke with Mrs. Cook, she had said that they were already in the first conversation for the following school year. And so I just wanted to at least bring that forward. There's any other discussion items around that, but I don't have any other context or information besides that.
Sure, we're trying to grow our program there as a district as well, using some of the grant funding from Kelly's group and the opportunity funds. We have one social worker at the Wellness Center, and they are contracted with us. They are not our employees, but they are a major part of what we do well, you know, best for kids at the high school. They have their licensed clinical social worker, and we have our school social worker. So they do work together to create a schedule. One is more long-term, one is more immediate. And then of course, if there's an immediate need for a student, then we have the counselors in the office, as well as school psychologists in the building. As well, we often call on resources like crisis to come and work with students. So it's never, ever the idea to turn a student away in need. And we also have connections with counseling services in the community to offer relationships with them so that they will offer appointments to our students. So, please let that person know to reach out to myself or Mrs. Cook, and we'll do our best to make sure that that student gets the help that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. Mrs. Cook did reach out and connect. I just wanted to at least raise that he just said, you know, for the remaining months as well as for next year, just to try to make as many appointments available on the capacity. And I said, I understand it is, you know, a need, and the state has behavioral health positions now. And so I did mention that, but I did tell him that I would bring it up before meeting.
I would like to add, too, I've had an opportunity to spend quite a few weeks at Legislative Hall, and there have been several Senate bills, House bills around mental health. So I certainly know that the state legislature is looking at that as well. And that could have benefits to local districts in terms of looking at mental health support in their school buildings. So.
Yeah, they can make their own appointments if they're members of the Wellness Center, which every student is eligible to be. And they sign, you know, up and, you know, I've already signed my son up. He's going next year. But a lot of the appointments for the social workers and our counselors come from our school counselors, where they're making the connection and referring them to the services, either an outside agency or to the wellness or to the social worker that we have in, that is our community. And, you know, we would love and want to grow that program, because the impediments to helping kids with student mental health can be their parents at times, right? Can be the copay that's $30 every visit. It can be, you know, timing of activities and such, and just the lack of transportation or initiative. So the breaking down those barriers and having it right there in the school building is the best possible scenario for our kids. All right, thank you. Is there any other items for discussion that need to be raised? All right. Okay, we're going to take like a 2-minute recess. Never mind. Okay.
Madam Secretary, I'm moving. Madam Secretary, Madam President, I'm moving to reset. Item 13-1, 13-2, 13-3, 13-4, 13-5, 13-6, 13-7, 13-8, 13-9, 13-10, and 13-11, as presented.
Sorry. I have a motion on the table by Mr. Snow and a second by Mr. Skews. Call for the vote. Okay. I'll call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skews? Dr. Wilson stepped away. I vote aye. Motion carries 3-0. Okay, next item is our student matter 2023-31, item 14.1. I have a motion on the table by Mr. Skews and a second by Mr. Snow. I will call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skews?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries 4-0. That is the last item on the agenda. Okay, our meeting is adjourned at 8:44 p.m. Thank you all very much for coming. Have a good evening.